Amen. Done. Amen. Go to John, please. Go to John. You guys go to John? You guys want to? All right. Everybody standing up. Everybody stand up. Stand up. Get on your feet. All right. There we go. You're going to stay like that for the rest of the service. All right. So that's the message. You guys are going to stand and you're going to listen to me. All right. If I have to stand over here, you guys are going to have to stand too. You want to scream some more, then we can do some jumping jack or something. I don't know, right? John chapter 12. You guys can go there. And it's just such a blessing to be here and being able to share something that God spoke to me. And I know it's going to be a blessing to you. Now, I emailed Brother Mitchell today in the morning. I'm like, Brother Mitchell, you have so many missionaries. You still want me to go over there and preach? You know, I'm just, I get excited when I hear missionaries tell us their stories, the things that they're doing over there and how they're working for God and what God is doing in their lives. It gets me excited. It's like, man, I feel like I'm not doing anything here. I want to do more. You know, I don't know, this year, as you started the year, if you have goals, if you have, you know, if you dreams, and if you, God, please use me this year to reach more people for Christ. You know, that's my dream this year. That's my goal this year, is to push the people that I serve. So they can serve God, so they can go to heaven and God can be pleased with their lives. And that's my goal, you know, and that's what I want to do. Chapter 12 right here at John chapter 12, you guys can go verse 20. Let's go to verse 1 and I'm read some verses in chapter right here in verse 1. And then I'm going to jump to verse 20 and where the message is going to be. The Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus, one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now we know the story, and we understand the things that are going. You know, Jesus is going to this house. He just made a miracle of miracles in the life of Lazarus. He resurrected him from the dead. And people started hearing what Jesus was doing. People started talking, not only the Jews, but we're going to see that other people from other countries started noticing what Jesus was doing. And we see here that you know, right here, Mary got some perfume and put it in God's feet and he anointed him. And then we see that one of the disciples, he's like, man, you could have spent so much and you could have taken it to the poor. And then Jesus had to correct and say, you know what? We're going to have the poor. But you're not going to have me all the time. And he was just, and people are listening to this. And in verse 20, if you guys can jump there, the Bible says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now it was a curiosity to me. It's just thinking, you know, I'm like, okay, who are these Greek people? You know, and I started going to commentaries and trying to see, okay, because I was starting to get into the Bible, and I was like, okay, I want to know who these Greek people were. You know, every commentary that I went to, it just says, you know, they were just Gentiles. They were just people that knew that the Jews had to correct God and that they wanted to worship God. They didn't know how to do it. So they went over there to worship God. But they heard what Jesus was doing. They were like, man, you know what? I think this is the Messiah. And the Bible says right there in verse 21, that the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him. And oh, my heart is for us to just desire our Lord. You know, us just to desire what God wants to do in our lives. And this message is about that. The Bible says, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. You know, this world, young man and young ladies, they want to see Jesus. They want to see Christ. They want to see a difference in Christianity. The reason why United States the way it is because Christians, they're not representing Jesus the way they should. You know, amen for the present that we got, but he's not our Savior. You know, what America needs is for Christians to show Jesus in their lives. And that's what's going to change our country. That's what's going to impact the world, is for us Americans to understand, look, we need to show Jesus. We need to show the world Jesus in our lives. So this Greek came to the disciples and like, look, we want to see Jesus. We desire to see him. We want to see him. And then the Bible says right here in verse 22, Philip came and tells Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So they went up to Jesus. And this is what surprised me about Jesus' answer. Now, Jesus didn't go back and saw the Greeks. He didn't go back and say, oh, look, Greeks, he didn't say that. He kind of just ignored the fact that the Greeks were there. And this is what Jesus said. The Bible says in verse 23, it says, and Jesus answered to them saying, the hour has what? That the Son of Man shall be what? Glorified. You know, he's like, okay, I believe that Jesus, throughout his ministry, was reaching the Jews, and he was trying to get them to get saved. And you know what? They didn't want it. So he was like, you know what? Other people from other countries are coming to us, asking us that they want to see Jesus. They're asking us. And Jesus knew this. He knew, okay, my time is about to come to an end, because they're just the beginning. You know, if I keep doing miracles, if I keep doing this, the whole world is going to come right now. And you know, he was like, no, but I need to die. So the Bible says right there in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fell into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father what? Honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, I come. I into what? Into this hour. You know, the hour is here. Your moment is now. Your moment is now. If you don't understand that this world needs you. This world is dying out there. They're just hoping for somebody to go out there. And I'm not talking about going to a different country. I'm saying do something now for God. Do something now for people that are around you. Do something now for your family that are going to hell because they don't have Jesus. Do something now. The hour is right now. It's not tomorrow. It's not, oh, I'm going to graduate 4 years and then I'm going to go. No, God wants you to do it now. That's what God wants. And some of us, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, I know I'm preaching to servants of God that desire is to go and impact this world like many other missionaries have done it. I know that's a fact. But if you don't understand that the hour is now, the moment is now, don't wait till you become a pastor or a missionary or a teacher, whatever you're here for, don't wait then, do it now. Impact now. And that's what the message and Jesus was saying. He's saying, look, these people are coming. They're not even Jews. The hour is now that I'm going to have to go to heaven. I'm going to have to die for these people. Oh, if we only understood what God wants to do in our lives. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for how great God you are. Help us understand, Lord, that the hour is now. The hour has come that we glorify you. The hour has come, Lord, that we need to get serious in what you want us to do. Please help me, Lord. Help my speech, Lord, so I can be more clear with this young man that are here. And they can go home. And they can go back home. Understanding that their hour is now. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys may be seated. You know, we see the beginning. I was kind of telling you what the beginning was. Jesus was with Lazarus, and we need to understand all these miracles are happening. And people are noticing. You know, God has been so good to our church throughout the years. He's been so good to this college throughout the years. If it wasn't for the men of God that God used back then, we wouldn't be here. I'm a direct impact of what this church has been. If it wasn't for men of God that were in this church, then I don't know if I would have gotten saved. I don't know if my life would have changed. I don't know. And if I want to know what my life would be, I just have to turn around and see the life of my cousins, of my brothers, and people that don't know Christ. But I'm so thankful what God has done. You know, and we can go back in the past and we can say, oh, God used the past. But you know what? And this message in this part of the Bible, I want you to understand that in your life, you have to realize that the time is now. And my heart is for you not to wait tomorrow to say, you know what, Brother Wild, I'm going to start reading my Bible tomorrow. Or I'm going to start living a sanctified life tomorrow. No, do it now. Now is the time. Today, not tomorrow. Don't wait for tomorrow. And that's what Jesus is saying right here. He's understanding, look, people are coming and the time is now. I'm about to go to heaven. You know, Mary comes and anoints him. Judas criticizes him. But this Greek man, the Bible says in verse 20 again, it says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him. You know, so they come, they want to know more about Jesus. And young man, young lady, I'm just telling you, people want to know more about Jesus. They don't care about you. You know, those missionaries that are going out there, they're not doing it for themselves. Do you understand what they have to go through? You know, I was talking to a Pastor Gallo over there in Ecuador, and the things he does is amazing. But the things he has to go through are things that I'll be like, man, I'll be scared. And I was telling my wife, man, I want to go to Ecuador. I want to go make a mission trip over there, babe. And I was telling my wife this, and my wife's just looking at me and is like, I don't know. Because, I mean, it's action. You know, they get in this little boat for hours, 17 hours, 10 hours, 8 hours, and they go to villages that it is so different than what we have here. But you know what? I know for a fact that missionaries like them understand, look, the time is now. If God is going to use my life, it's going to be now. So what I have to do for God to use my life is do what Jesus is telling us right here. The Bible says the hour in verse 23, and Jesus answered to them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man shall be glorified. God wants to be glorified in your life. If you're writing some points or whatever, the number one is you need to understand that God wants to be glorified. And God is not glorified if you're not representing God the way God wants you to represent him. If you're a wishy-washy Christian, that's what we say in Spanish, if you're a sugar-coated Christian, then God is not being glorified. If you're too scared to go soul winning when it gets too cold, then you're not ready for it. At the moment, House Anderson College students, is now. If you can do something for God, it's now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not what, oh God, if you give me a girlfriend, then I'm going to serve you. That come on, really? No, it's now. Start serving God right now. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, the hour has come that the Son of Man shall be glorified. And he keeps on saying, but just understand that God wants to be glorified. Now the question is, does your life glorify God? Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. Brother Perez, well, that's the reason why we came here. No, does your life glorify God? Does it? No, did you spend time with God today? Did you talk to God? Did you read your Bible today? Does your life glorify God? Are you being submitted to your pastor? Or are you being submitted to your parents? Did they approve what you're doing? You know, all this is glorifying God. And some of us, the reason why God is not going to use you, and I'm sorry I'm telling you this, but God will not use some of you guys, is because you guys, you're not glorifying God. Your life is not glorifying God. How would you expect for God to glorify and use your life if you're not doing what you're supposed to do as a child of God? And the Bible says here in the Word of God, it keeps on saying, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides. It's saying, look, if you don't plant a corn, if you don't plant a seed, it's not going to do anything. You know, number two, we understand here that God wants us to bear a lot of fruit, but first, God wants us to die to ourselves. There's a lot of dying that we need to do before God uses our lives. And then we see here in the verse, it's saying, look, it says, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth, verse 24 at the end, it bringeth forth much what? Fruit. You know, God wants to use you. God wants you to have an impact in your life and other people's lives. But if we don't learn this principle of dying to ourselves, it's not what I want. Lord, it's not where I want to be. You know, when I was in Bible college and after I graduated and when I married my wife, I used to say, God, if only you just take me to, I want to be a youth pastor. So I'm like, God, if only you just take me to 20 kids. I mean, 20 young men or whatever you, I don't need to have a lot. Just give me 20. That was my prayer. You know, but that wasn't God's purpose. You know, I'm blessed. I come here, and when I came, there was more than 100 teenagers. I'm like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? I didn't ask for this. But, you know, I understood that when I got saved. I understood, look, my life has to glorify God. Enough with not glorifying God. I grew up in a church, just like many of you guys. I got saved at the age of 17, and I was not glorifying God. I understood that perfectly. I'm like, look, I'm not doing nothing for God. I don't even know if God wants to use my life. I was just happy I was saved. You know, just like the missionary yesterday, he was saying, if God didn't call you, then some of you guys need to just volunteer for God. That was me. I was like, God, I want to volunteer. God, I want to serve you. I'm just happy that I'm saved. I'm just happy that I'm going to heaven. What do I need to do, God? You know, and I started glorifying God. I started serving God. I started doing things that I was supposed to because I knew what I was not supposed to do. I hated sin. Why? Because sin had destroyed my life and the life of my family. So my Christianity was different. And this is what God's telling us. Look, you have to understand your life. Your goal should be to glorify God. And number one, you want to glorify God. You need to understand you have to die to yourself. If you don't die, then God can't give you fruit. The Bible says again in verse 26. Verse 25 says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. You know, God doesn't only want you to die to yourself. God's waiting for you to sacrifice. What have you sacrificed for God? Well, I'm right here. Yeah. What have you sacrificed for God? You know, God is asking you to sacrifice something. God is asking you to be ready to sacrifice something. Are you ready to sacrifice whatever God asks you to sacrifice? We see that in the Bible many times. You know, speaking of Pastor Gallo, we were talking and he shared this story about how he was going in this canoes to the jungles and one of them flipped over and his wife and him fell down and they were drowning and a lot of Bible students from Mexico City were there too and everybody was in the water and then he says that a brother that he led to Christ came and rescued him. And he heard when this guy was rescuing him, he heard that the wife was saying the name of the guy. I don't remember the name, but he was saying, hey, let's just name him John. John, the children, his children had gone too. But this man, this newcomer, went for the pastor. And then later when we were eating, because he didn't finish the story, I asked him, what happened? He's like, well, this man jumped and then he saved us. At the end of it, I asked him, why did you save me? How come you didn't go for your children? How come you didn't go for your kids? And the man's like, look, Pastor, I can always have more kids. But men like you, men of God like you, we don't have a lot. And I had to rescue you so many more can get saved and go to heaven. Man, this man was willing to sacrifice his children. What are you willing to do? What is God asking you to give up? You know, when young men are dating in our church, and they come to me and they're like, "Hey, Brother Juan, I like this young girl, and you know, I want to date her. I'm like, good, man, I'm so happy for you. If they have the age, I get excited. But then I tell them, okay, don't talk to her for a month. You know, I want to see if they're willing to go the extra mile. You know, that's exactly what God does. You know, God and Abraham and his son, you know, God told him, hey, Abraham, I want your child. I want to see if you're willing to give your only child. And we see the story, we see in Genesis chapter 22, the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, who thou lovest, and go thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac and his son and clove the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And then he was going and then the servants asked him, what are you going to do? And they stayed behind. And then his son's like, Dad, I see you have the wood. I see you have the knife. I see you have the fire. Where is the burnt offering? He said, God will provide, son. Don't worry about it. You know, many of us need to understand God wants you to be willing to sacrifice. And then when you're ready to just give everything to God, God will always provide. You know, our problem is that we're not willing to die to ourselves and we're not willing to sacrifice anything. We're so comfortable with the way we are. Oh, I'm a proud American and this and that. We're so comfortable how we are. When people outside are dying and going to hell, and maybe you have thought, God, how am I going to go to this country? Or how am I going to go and serve in this church? Or how? And I'm just going to tell you, just go. Be willing to just go and God will take care of the rest. You know, it's amazing. It's beautiful to serve God and be in God's perfect will. I know, and I'm so happy that I'm here. I have no doubt that God brought me here. God provides. God gives us what we need. We just got to be willing. And that's what God wants. Number three, we see here in verse 26. It says, if any man serve me. You know, God wants us to serve him. God wants us to serve him. You know, I'm just saying, are you serving God? How's Anders in college? Are you serving God? When was the last time you led somebody to Christ? Or was it too cold this past Saturday? People went to hell. Because God brought you to a place where there are so many people. But we don't care. We just want what we want. We're not ready to die to ourselves and our needs and we're not ready to sacrifice when God is just saying, you know what? I want to prove you. I do want to use your life, but I want you to be ready because it's going to be different out there. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Bible says, but Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles, exercise lordship over them. And their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servants of all. For even the Son of Man comes not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. You know, we serve a living God. And when it comes to shove and push and do what we need to do, we don't do it. We come here and say, oh yeah, I want to glorify God, but we're not willing to do it. You know, the verse again, it says, and it keeps on saying, not only God wants us to serve him, the Bible says, let him follow me. There's a difference between serving and following. God says, I don't want you not only to serve me, I want you to follow me. When you follow somebody, young man, you look more like Jesus. You will talk more like him. Everything you do is going to be about him. Everywhere he goes, you're going to go. Everywhere that God sends you, you're going to go. Why? Because you're following him. But if you're not ready to serve him, if you're not ready to get dirty, then how can you follow somebody that's going to require that of you? You know, the time has come to glorify God. He wants us to die to ourselves. He wants us to be willing to sacrifice. He wants us to be willing to serve him. He wants us to be willing to follow him. And the Bible keeps on saying, the verse right here, 26, where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You know, God wants us to honor him. And he's saying, look, if you're willing to do this, then there's going to come honor. And the Bible keeps on saying, says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, come I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. You know, again, I want to serve God. And I was reading this. I was like, God, man, I need to restrain some things in my life. Because one day, young man, I want to be able to go to heaven. And for God to see me and says, man, you did a good job. I want to be able to go to heaven and see many people saved because I was able to go in a rainy day and whatever day comes or whatever God has in my life, I did it. You know, that's the purpose. That's what I was telling you. Man, this. That's why I emailed Brother Mitchell this morning because my heart was like, man, they need to hear a missionary. I mean, those guys are out there in the trenches. I don't know what God's going to do in your life. But I do know something. If you're not willing to glorify God and do what he asks you, you're not going to get there. You're just wasting money. Because you're going to go back home, you ain't going to be the same. With the same problems, with the same sins you're struggling now. And today, God is saying, look, I want you to understand something. I want to be glorified in your life. I want to see more Jesus. The world wants to see more Jesus. And for the world to see more Jesus, you need to start glorifying my name in your life. You guys need to start understanding God. For us to glorify, we need to die to ourselves. For us to glorify God, we need to start sacrificing. What? God, what do you want me to sacrifice? What do you want me to give up? Lord, I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I want to be used by you. What do you need from me, God? You know, you have to have that disposition. And the Bible not only sees that, if we want to glorify God, we have to start serving him, following him, and start honoring his name. What's going to happen? You know, my heart burns when I see these people come from different countries. And I'm done. From Ecuador, from Mexico, missionaries are coming. Asking us, look, we need help because we want to be over there. My heart burns because right now Mexico is sending more missionaries than we are. What happened to the American missionaries that used to go to wherever God sent them to? We're so comfortable. You know, we only care if Trump drops the gas money and that's it, you know. We're so comfortable. If only we go back understanding God, we want to glorify your name. Wherever you send me. If it's a state in the United States, then I'm going to do my best to build the biggest Baptist church in the state that you send me to. And it's not you, it's glorifying God. See, these men that are going out, they don't care about themselves. They just want to glorify God. And God says, look, I'm going to give you fruit, but you have to die. Hey, I'm going to give you fruit, but you have to be willing to sacrifice. You have to start serving me right now. You have to start following me in whatever you do right now. And everything you do has to honor me. You know, today that's what God's asking us to do. Are you willing? I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know you guys made decisions. I know some of you guys this week God spoke to your heart, and now you know where you're going. Some of you guys might go to Ghana. I don't know where God has spoke to your heart. I know that. But some of you guys, I pray that this message can be a blessing for you to understand. Look, if only we worry about glorifying God and doing what we're supposed to do, God will lead us to the person that we have to get married to the ministry that we have to go, because people are waiting for you. So many times, soul winning. So many times. I knocked at the door and there's people there crying, saying, when we give them the message and saying, we were praying for somebody to come and give us the gospel. It's not Mexico. It's not Argentina. It's right here. East Chicago. Little village. We go over there all the time. Don't you want to glorify God? Or you just want to keep being that washy Christian? Sugar-coated. Oh, I don't know about him. He preached too hard. He ain't going to do nothing for God. If you don't start glorifying God and do what he wants us to do, let's pray. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I'm preaching, Lord, to our answer to America. Young man that you hear, God wants you to get right. You know, the United States is waiting for you guys to get right. You guys are the answer. There's a few colleges, like House Anderson College. There are preparing men of God. Father, please help us understand this. The altar is open. If God spoke to your heart, feel free to come. Let me try.